Thank you very much, Professor Mononen, for this very interesting presentation. And I would like to invite Professor Márton Jolánkai to the podium. His presentation, the title of his presentation is Food Security and Sustainability, Chances and Limitations of Agriculture.
So, ladies and gentlemen, I hope I will not be so sound or will not induce such high explosions with the microphone. So actually what I'm going to speak about in short, it may be closely related to the previous lecture as well, because we are then learning about animal welfare, but many times we are mistaken in this case because we speak less about the human welfare. And actually, as I was listening just the conclusions, or prior to the conclusions that were the main elements of that animal welfare, I found that all of them, they are valid for the human beings as well. And of course, it will start, as it has started, with food and water supply, so let's say the food security. And of course, I would like to give some information as a package on sustainable version of that. And just not only to speak about, because it's very fashionable to speak about sustainability, but the limitations and the changes within that. So if I'm getting to that, just to refer to the first speech of the Dean, because you have mentioned that we have been living in one country 100 years ago, I have to tell that we have been living several times during our history, from the Roman Empire, then later the first two phases of the European Union, what we can assume in early periods. So actually, at that time, we had also a common language, a lingua franca, what is today English, but at that time it was the Latin. And I have taken this slogan for the very purpose, just to show that, just not to be stereotypic with the sustainability. So it says more than 1,200 years ago that time is changing while we are also being changed. And it's showing that, so never take any situation as a situation of the present or maybe aiming the future. We are part of a dynamic structure, and actually we have to get adapted to that. So, and if we check, it's a very popular model for sustainability. I would like to point only on one thing of that, namely that sustainable system can be only run whenever it may refer to the three factors, namely social, environmental, but at the same time it has to be economic. Because whenever it's not economic, you cannot sustain that. It can be a good dream, a nice wish, or a green philosophy, but it's not viable at all. If I would like to check it and to draw it back to agriculture, in agriculture we consider the basic unit is the field. Where's the field? Field can be a smaller or a bigger unit, but anyhow, we have a balance of that. You can see on the left side of that two inputs. One is the material input and a technical input, all what the field is exposed to. And of course we have the material output at the other side, simply all that material what we take away from that ecosystem. Number one, that's yield, the byproducts, but also we take away, well, the resources from that, we take away the water, we take away sometimes the soil itself while we're using that. And consequently, we will have some plus and minus changes. Of course, not in a sense that positive or negative changes, but we have something more or we'll have something less within that ecosystem. Sometimes the more is more dangerous than the less is. So, if we get to that, what do we do within that ecosystem? Then very often we blame agriculture, and of course we have the right to blame it, for excess agronomic impacts, when we do more than necessary, when we do just, let's say, our practice without any, how to say, consideration, just because we are used to that, we are doing a sort of a technological timetable. And these are the consequences: environmental pollution, the overload of system, phytotoxicity, alteration of zoonosis, erosion, mutants, and of course yield losses, because if I'm doing more, sometimes I'm gaining less. On the other hand, we speak less about the insufficient agronomic applications, and it means that, because it's so green to speak about that, I'm not applying fertilizers, I don't use any technological implementation, but what do? That's exploitation of that habitat. So it's a number one, the soil nutrient abuse. Of course, I induce the danger of pests and diseases. Of course, from the other side, I am making alterations of a zoonosis as well, but I will have mycotoxins in the system, and finally, I will have yield losses as well. And what is sustainable agriculture, if I would like to check it? So, of course, number one, that's environmentally non-degrading, resource-saving, producing healthy food, fodder, protecting biodiversity, and of course, making the present and future generations of farmers interested in agricultural production. Today, I think that is the basic problem, not the first one, not the environment, because the environmental losses or the endangerment of environment is just a consequence of the lack or the reduction of the rural population. Now, if we check the world population forecast, what it was just at the year of 2000, when we reached the level of 6 billion people, then there was the UN State of the Planet study had made three different versions: a pessimistic, a reliable, and an optimistic version for the increment of the population. And I see now we are at 7 billion, is just about the reliable yellow line. So we cannot have high expectations that once we can reduce the level or stop the increment of the population, we will be more and more. We will have to handle the system, not to be too optimistic about. The other problem what I have here is nothing else but the cropland budget. The cropland budget is very small. Very small what we have. It's just all around the world, which is 510 million square kilometers, only 50 million kilometers. That's the actual cropland what we are working on. And we could be happy about that. The potential cropland is about three times higher. But don't forget, it's the potential cropland. It means that I have to reduce the natural tract of the globe. Because what is the potential cropland? Oh, well, that's nature, that's wildlife, that's everything what is out of my power. So finally, if I don't check, maybe whole nature and wildlife would get shrink to such minor spots if we do a very bad job. Of course, it's a joke, but I think it's a very nice picture I've borrowed from somewhere. Now, just to get to the resources. So number one, that would be the water, not the food, the water. Much more important, because water, I think, especially water scarcity, or let's say the access to water, in this sense, the human population is much more vulnerable. So I don't want to get all around these steps, but what I would like to give a warning that 99% of the fresh water, it is covered in ice, snow, or underground, and only 1% of that is available for us, for human beings, and for the old activities, whatever we have. Well, it's not a very small amount, but small in a sense of looking the world's resources. And if I'm going to check it globally, then we can see a very, very interesting picture. This picture is interesting for that fact, because it is showing four categories. It's not only the water availability or water scarcity, but the green, of course, is showing that these are the balanced areas of the world. And of course, the yellow is showing those areas where we are facing water scarcity, even in Europe. Ukraine herself dedicated to be just declared that there are places in that country which are facing physical water scarcity. Of course, the physical, real physical, that will be the orange spots over there. But what is more dangerous, that is the economic water scarcity, which is you can see mainly the whole Black Africa, patches in Central and South America, and of course in India, north of India, and even in China, and in the East Asian part of the world, you can find. And it means that there is water, there could be water, except we cannot get an access to that economically. And that's what I say at the very beginning. When we speak about sustainability, it has to be economically viable as well. Otherwise, that wouldn't work. If we get to the world alimentation, we have a rather diverse picture. It's more than 50 years ago, this chart, but I didn't find a better one since that. And it says, and it's pointing to a very strange problem. If I check the calories per day per capita, and we see the human standard, then we can be satisfied that, even in the developing world, it's about 15% less. So world hunger is not a very, very crucial point. Well, actually, it is. But we have got one more thing. These are general values. And of course, behind averages, you have very, very tricky and very, very severe situations. So it's not actually the problem of the developing world, because the world average, anyhow, is higher than the human standard. Of course, we shouldn't forget about those 100 million people who died due to starvation or in an indirect way to that. And of course, we shouldn't forget about almost 1 billion people who are undernourished. But on the other hand, I would like to point to the developed world where we are eating too much, but it's not only the problem. We are just wasting, we are just throwing away our food. For example, the recent statistics from the United States, it says that 34% of the food which has been produced, it's getting to land in the garbage. And that's the biggest problem. And that waste food is much more than that would be the requirement of the starving. If we get to the world grain production as an example, and we can be happy about that, it's a success story. We are producing more and more grain per capita than ever, and we are producing that on an ever decreasing land surface. So we could say that, okay, then no problem. We should continue with this trend. However, we cannot do that because, as I have mentioned, we run out of the soil of the agricultural land. So that's the number two limitation after the water. And now, if we check the food availability in the world, it's also something similar to that. So we can say that the three basic colors, so green should be okay, the yellow is the balanced state, so there is a chance for people to eat. Even it is valid for India and China today. They have a very problemful supply of food, but still they can sustain their life. And the most dangerous part is the Black Africa and some parts of Arabia, where there is really a food supply inefficiency. We can get back to the theory. All of you know that Thomas Malthus, who has written in 1798, the thesis about the essay on the principle of the population. When and where shall we, the two diagrams will match each other? We never know. Always we think that, it will be next year, it will be in the far future. There are some people who say that we are over that point, or maybe about that point, because the world has so many reserves, has so many reserves in food. But don't forget, during the past 5 years, the food reserves haven't been increasing. So maybe we can stop it, maybe not. So let's be a little bit problemful with that. If we check our responsibility, I mean agronomy, then in crop science, the target areas, that's the classical one, where it's been written in the Bible, with the plant, with the animal, and it's all serving human alimentation. Also, at the same time, we had some 8,000 years ago, the production of raw materials, fiber, oil, and so on. And today, we have a much more complicated version, when two more packages. One is the direct industrial use, like chemicals, pharmaceuticals, and the energy, what is more and more focused on crop production. And in this corner, we have what I normally call the non-productive tract of crop production, which has more and more importance. Because why? Because it's all life. My garden, my flower pot, or anything like that. That's the human welfare, yeah? Part of that. And then we can conclude and get back to the basic idea. The Brundtland thesis, probably you know that Gro Brundtland, she was the prime minister once of Norway, and in the 80s she had at the Brundtland Committee of the United Nations, and that was the definition of that committee on what is a sustainable development. It's a nice sentence, everybody knows, all schools we teach it. What is the meaning of that? Well, actually only one thing: equal chances for the present and the future generation, because we cannot provide them with the same capacities, since we are in a dynamic structure, but we are obliged to give equal chances. How can we do that? Of course, there was the Agenda 21 by the UN, and it says that there are 7 tasks how we can turn agriculture to be sustainable, and I have labeled them with blue and with yellow. The blue, of course, it is the policy. So what all governments, what the leaders of the world should do, so that policies, strategies, land tenure, organization, so that's the frame we have to work within. And the yellow one, that's research, extension, infrastructure, local resource, food security, well, we, scientists, farmers, we have to do what we have to provide to the society as a whole. And finally, so the biggest trouble is, once again, is politics. So politicians, they handle agriculture as some hobby farming, or I don't know what. Even in this country where we live, maybe in your country is the same, it's somehow a secondary business. Most people think that the food is, where is the food coming from? Oh, well, from the supermarket. But nobody thinks about how the food is getting into that. So what I think today, the biggest enemy of sustainability today, it is the green movements. The green movements in general, give the honor to the few exceptions, but they often manipulate the public with arguments of no scientific value. However, these problems can be solved only together. And just as a final word or a message, I have to go back to Professor Cserháti. He has written that, he was a professor at Mosonmagyaróvár in 1905, that say that crop production is not an empirical craftsmanship anymore, but rather an art based on a wide range of knowledge. So please don't be a simple philosopher or believer, but try to do your job as it has to be done. So let's be keen on to encourage knowledge farming versus eco-anarchism. So thank you very much for that.